Diversity.
Yes, of course, confusion.
I'll crash its board.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Just before we came on air, the heavens have opened here. It's absolutely pouring down. The thunderstorms have started, which I'm actually really pleased about. I've been waiting for the thunderstorms to come. Today, we're going to be talking about the murder of Henry Novak. Now, this is a story that's been around for a while because it happened in December, but The big thing that's happened is that the police have released footage of it. I don't usually talk about what you could class as crime stories on this channel. That's a long-running policy of mine. However, this particular story, I think, crosses a line into something bigger than simply a murder case. In many ways, it has some parallels with the murder of George Floyd, partly because the exact same words are used, I can't breathe, but partly because, of course, the issue of race is impossible to ignore in this story. And in many ways, this is almost like the reverse George Floyd, whereby in that case, because George Floyd was black, the officer like immediately went to jail, and he's still in jail now, right? Whereas in this case, I think there's a very strong argument to say that Henry Novak was murdered or is dead because of anti-racism. And that is not simply me saying that. That is actually a mainstream talking point right now in the mainstream media. If you don't believe me, I will show you the headline of the Telegraph, where this Jake Wallace Simon says, "Did anti-racism condemn Henry Novak to die? The contempt of the officers towards the innocent teenager who died at their feet cannot be ignored." Now, I'm going to get through all of the details of this. We're going to have a look at the BBC. If you're not aware of it, the actual best and most forensic account that I came across was actually by Millennial Woes over on Substack, which is simply called The Murder of Henry Novak. It was published yesterday, and he goes into real, real detail. And this story's got a lot. It's got, it's not just that, it's not simply the fact that this happened because he was white and because of the police's woke attitude and so on. It is also the murderer, this Digwa and his family, behaved in a manner that can only be described as evil. There's a lot of like really dark stuff, including just lying to the police, covering up a murder, and so on and so forth. So if you want to go into all of the real details, Millennial Woes has it on his Substack. Obviously, I don't have time to read all of that here. I will start with the BBC report, which just has the kind of bare bones facts of the matter. This was just published an hour ago. Student Henry Novak reportedly told police officers, "I can't breathe," as he lay dying in handcuffs after being stabbed, body cam footage shows. The 18-year-old Southampton student was handcuffed after his killer, Vikram Digwa, 23 years old, lied to the police at the scene of the 2025 stabbing, claiming he'd been the victim of a racist attack. Footage released by the force with permission of Novak's family shows he was pleading, "I've been stabbed. And one officer responded, "I don't think you have, mate." Novak suffered stab wounds to his legs and a fatal wound to his heart with a 21 centimeter, that's an 8-inch blade. The Digwa said he carried as part of his Sikh faith. He was jailed for life to serve a minimum of 21 years of prison. The Independent Office for Police Conduct, that's AOPAC, said an investigation into the police force's actions was ongoing. The Attorney General's office is considering a jail sentence given to Digwa after receiving multiple requests to review it under the unduly lenient sentence scheme. We're gonna get into the ins and outs of this story, but that's the kind of bare bones of it. There are so many angles of this. Obviously, this story has become immediately politically charged. And just before we came on air, Nigel Farage gave what he called an address to the nation. Okay, Farage has given an address to the nation about this. And that has therefore caused a backlash, right? It's given the left something to hinge onto now, saying that Nigel Farage is inflaming racial tensions in the country and trying to use this murder basically for his own political gain. And so a lot of the conversation has become around that, okay? And so I was thinking, like, how best can I tackle this story with so many things? And, you know, ever the fan of the meta, I thought, well, first thing we do is we basically review it through reviewing other people's videos, okay? I've got four videos from various, right-wing alternative media accounts that we'll have a little watch of. I've got one by Richard the Fourth, one by Paz, one by he calls himself the Hillbilly Halfwit, and one by Jeff Taylor. So we'll watch some of that, and then we're going to watch Kemi Badenoch's reaction. We're going to watch Nigel Farage's address to the nation, and then we're going to watch the Dogface Gremlins' really quite extraordinary reaction to that. So strap in, folks. It's let's give. I just know that this story is going to become emblematic, symbolic, and really is going to become a kind of crunch point in the trajectory of the nation. And the reason I say that is because a lot of the newspapers, like the Daily Mail, the Daily Express, the Daily Telegraph, and so on, are basically saying, like, this is the nation's darkest hour, right? This is like how has the country got to this point? Okay. So when the mainstream media start talking in that way, you know that this is being set up as a major, major, plot point or narrative point in the ongoing kind of political struggles of our time. So it's a major story. And the reason I'm calling it reverse George Floyd is because, I mean, not only does he say, "I can't breathe," as you read there, but also George Floyd in America was used as a kind of acceleration point for woke in the first place, if you remember. I've got a funny feeling that this Henry Novak story is going to be used as an acceleration point for anti-woke, that whether anybody likes it or not, this guy is probably going to become the white George Floyd, right? As a symbolic icon of what happens when anti-racism goes too far. Because the fact is, he died because of wokery. He's a victim of woke, this guy. Obviously, the killer, right, is an unhinged psycho. From reading Woz's article, it's not just him, his whole family, you know, basically, like, he killed this guy in cold blood for no reason, stabbed him multiple times, his family helped him cover it up. So, obviously, you know, there's some unhinged element to the story. But the fact is, they try to use, as Woe says, magic words. They try to use the power of the word racism. And there's a very strong argument to say that this 18-year-old died, was murdered, and basically condemned to die by the police who could have helped him simply because of the power of this word. Okay, and this is really going to be what this this incident is going to be a hinge point in the history of the nation on how this is dealt with going forward. I haven't watched Farage's speech yet. We're going to watch it together. I haven't seen the Dogface Gremlin's reaction. But first of all, let's have a look. Who should we go to first? I think we'll, because he shows the footage, and given that it's on YouTube, I'm guessing that we can show the footage. I'm going to play Richard the Fourth's video first. We're not going to watch it all. I want to get round to each one of these characters, and then we'll go to the political stuff. So let's take Richard the Fourth.
You've been stabbed. Whereabouts? I don't think you have, mate. Hand?
Oh, I can't breathe.
Put the hand in the cuff, mate.
So we have the footage, and it's bad. It's so bad. And what's so bad about this isn't just the pure evil of it all. It's the banality of the evil. We hear so much from our liberal overlords about how they prioritize humanity and tolerance and kindness. Yet here we go again. We see the bureaucratic liberal system in action. Who doubts that these cop bots had extensive training during the George Floyd saga? You know, that they're stuffed to the gills in DEI ideology. The very people the police attract these days are somewhat suspect half the time. They're turned against.
What's incredible to me is the fact that he said, "I can't breathe," which is the exact same thing that George Floyd said. And yet, this is like it's an exact mirror image of what happened there. But, you know, in that case, George Floyd, you know, he was an actual felon, right? He was an actual felon. He'd taken a lot of drugs, and yet the police officer went to jail. In this case, this guy has actually been stabbed. He is literally dying, and the police just have him in handcuffs. It's just unbelievable. It really is.
Against their basic common instincts of humanity to arrest a dying man while he's bleeding out on the floor, all because he supposedly, with scanty evidence, did racism. This is the reality of their anti-racism drives. It's an anti-whitism drive. It's all it's ever been. And of course, in some senses, you wonder whether I should make a video showing Henry's last moments. Point A is it's all over the internet already, so what difference does it make? And point B is we can't ignore the brutal realities anymore. As I've been saying in recent videos with regards to other awful phenomena of modernity, you can't just sweep it away under the rug. This is the reality, and it has to be stared in the face. Remember, we've been told for a couple of years now by Keir Starmer and his government that two-tier policing is a complete myth.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very good question as to what would have happened if the victim had been black, for example. Would the police officer have said, "I don't think you are, mate"? But you've got to remember that some of the details here is that I believe, if I have the details correct from Woes, the police were there because the actual Digwa chap phoned the police accusing him of a racist incident or something. So the police were there investigating racism, not investigating the fact that he'd been stabbed, even though a neighbor had called 999 and reported a stabbing. They weren't there for that. They were there for the racism. So this is like a weird little wrinkle in the story, but an important point. It probably explains their attitude, in the moment there.
No, there's no anti-whitism in the police. Well, what about this, Keir? What about this? Keir Starmer has always tried to ignore this because it doesn't suit his bureaucratic liberal worldview. He's just not programmed to understand what's going on here. But he was forced, supposedly by Lindsay Hoyle, to acknowledge this. And, well, he sent a tweet about it, which, as always with these things, completely and utterly misses the point. He just puts it down to a random knife crime. Yeah, like the Hampshire police, Keir Starmer functions through the same ideology. It's the same banality of evil. Like a bear, when it mauls a human being, you might cry in great pain, but the bear just thinks, why are you making noise? I'm just eating. And as always, if this sort of thing happened to a minority, we all know that Keir Starmer would be down on one knee. It would be politically advantageous.
I still can't get over the symmetry of these two different incidents and the difference in reaction. It's so stark, isn't it? It's so stark. But I've got a funny feeling that this is going to be a hinge point. That, as I said, that as George Floyd was used to accelerate woke, I'm pretty certain this is going to be used to massively accelerate, I guess what you call anti-woke. Let's give Richard a few. This has been a pretty good video from Richard. So let's give him a few more minutes.
Just the whole of the bureaucratic liberal system would kick into gear. You'd have new laws, massive amounts of funding, 24/7 news coverage, benefit concerts. The hypocrisy is just so brutal. It's so stark. This is the reality of the modern UK. And this is why we say what we say in the online space, as demonised as we are. Because this is the future for our children, if we don't change our course. And imagine what poor Henry Nowak's father is going through, his family is going through right now. The system does not care about these people. All they're going to do is send the nudge unit round to try and ensure that Henry's father starts to talk about the wonders of diversity and
I'm telling you what, guys, I only saw a snippet of Dogface Gremlin later on. This may be a tricky one to get through. I have to remember our training, our anger training, because one of his guests who comes on, well, you just wait and see what happens with this, with Farage and all the rest of it. This may be a hard one to get through today.
Inclusion. I understand he's already made a comment to the effect of Henry was a welcoming, inclusive individual. Poor fella is probably forced to say these things, because the worst thing you can do in modern Britain is do a racism. That's why they arrest Henry Nowak when he's dying, when he hasn't even done anything wrong. Because our new arrivals know they simply have to accuse you of it. The brutal reality is that savages know they just have to utter the magic racism word, and the whole of the system bends to their knee. Look at this. After George Floyd, the Hampshire police created the Race Action Plan, designed by Alison Haydari and Olivia Pinky, to fight racism and inclusion training. Well, they've certainly done that, haven't they? Well done. Good job. Even when he's been murdered, even at the court case, this is the judge speaking to the killer, Digwa. Your actions stirred up racial tension. Again, racism is the real concern here for the system. You have brought shame upon your family.
Yeah, no, when I was looking at that BBC article, in fact, I might as well just share it. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that this is there, right? Let me just show you this. Right? This guy killed this guy in cold blood, and the police basically handcuffed him as he was dying. Right. And yet one of the stories on the BBC is this. Oh, right. Oh, yeah. That's the issue. Sikhs being demonized. Come on now. Oh, I could just. Oh, it's just.
Your religion. Your actions have stirred up racial tensions in Southampton and across the country, which have made many Sikhs worried about their safety. What about kids like Henry's safety? They will never say that for young white lads. They never even think it, because that would be doing a racism. People like Henry are expendable to the system. The only sense I saw about all this is from Millennial Woe's Substack. Quote, Henry...
Well done, Richard the Fourth, for picking the best Substack as well. He's on it.
Novak's final hour was spent listening to alien people conspiring against him in a foreign language. What he's referencing there is the family were there making up their plan while using English to accuse him of racism and deceit. His final minutes were spent with British police dismissing his pleas for help. His final waking moments were spent in handcuffs on a cold December ground while all of the above continued around him. This is just so savage. It's almost unbelievable. And it's made extra savage by the fact that the system just turns a blind eye to it. Just one of those things just wants you to ignore it. Go back to the Premier League slop, Love Island, and all of the food that diversity brings us. That big, fat, big John Housegammon chap is going to be working overtime right now to get his chicken balls from the powers that be.
Egg fried rice, chicken fried rice, pork fried rice, special fried rice, Singapore fried rice, Singapore rice noodle, plain charming, chicken charming, pork charming, beef charming.
Yeah, that's it, you disgusting gammon. Revel in the slop. The endless slop. Consume the endless comatosing slop. While you consume it, you can watch Bonnie Blue's latest sex stunt slash abomination. That's all you whites are now. Then back to work. Keep your head down. Trust the system. Say diversity is our strength and work. Work every hour God sends so you can be taxed.
Tell you what, Dickie's Richard, you're going hard here, mate. He's going hard. Let's let him go. Let's let the man cook.
To pay for Ahmed to have yet more children on the state, so Tunde can be taken care of as he makes it across the channel. He's had an Odyssey and journey, by the way. Why don't you show him more love and compassion like a good person? It's because you're sick, twisted gammon. Oh, and by the way, we're remaking the Odyssey the correct way with a black Helen of Troy. Oh, you hate black actresses, do you? Sick and twisted gammon.
All right, all right. You can go and watch that video in your own time before... talk about... This is one of the more insane stories I can remember, to be honest. Let's check in with my old buddy Paz.
What on earth did Britain, this once proud, sensible country, turn into such a pathetic, self-hating circus? Well, ladies and gents, meet the Henry Novak case. Hampshire police have eventually released the body cam footage, haven't they? And it's a very distressing watch. Take it from me. I've seen it. It's all over X, but I won't post it on here for obvious reasons. And even if you've read the transcripts, seeing this level of incompetence, cowardice, and institutional brain rot in action is baffling, utterly sickening. This is the most shocking footage of discrimination that you'll ever see. A Caucasian lad being handcuffed by police officers, more concerned by an accusation of racism than an act of murder. 18-year-old Henry Novak, a decent young Polish lad, a university student walking home from a night out minding his own business, gets stabbed 5 times by Vikram Digwa, a 23-year-old with a 21-centimetre ceremonial knife he was legally allowed to carry because, well, multiculturalism and faith exemptions, don't you know? Henry is bleeding out, gasping that he can't breathe, that he's been stabbed. And what do our brave boys in blue do? Well, they listen to the stabber's sob story about racist abuse, slap the cuffs on the dying Caucasian boy, arrest him, and faff about while he drowns in his own blood. Don't think so, mate, one of the coppers says to him. Classic. Then he read him his rights and justice, British style in 2026.
I mean, it's just insane. I've got a funny feeling this is going to, I mean, I can see people in chat who think that this, nothing is going to happen. I think this is going to be a hinge point. I think this is too, it's just too insane for it not to be. Then again, seeing the way the discourse has gone after the Farage special address, and I can already feel my blood boiling, to be honest. Go on, Paz.
I mean that poor young man and his family, left to die surrounded by his murderer and gaslighting Indians, in his final moments treated like the criminal. Heartbreaking doesn't even cover it, does it? This isn't policing, folks. It's a grotesque parody. Caucasian people are now under attack, not just by imported knife enthusiasts, but by the authorities who are supposed to protect us. Authorities who've swallowed the diversity Kool-Aid so deeply, they automatically assume that the Caucasian kid must be the bigot. And this must be a turning point. White lives matter too. Or are we just going to shrug and import a few more enrichers with holy daggers? Now, I've had my run-ins with the police over the years. Who hasn't in this clown country? But this is a whole new level of disgrace. I mean, if you can watch that footage and even read what happened and not feel utterly ashamed of what the police force and this country have become, then I'm sorry, but you're subhuman. No spine, no sense of right and wrong, just a compliant little drone chanting, diversity is our strength, while British kids bleed out in the street. And don't get me started on the cultural angle either. Digma's family disrupting the sentencing, shouting at Henry's grieving relatives, calling the judge racist, needing to be restrained.
I didn't know that detail. That's fucking just so awful. See, you better believe that there is evil in the world. That's one of the issues with some of the guiding philosophy of the liberals in this country, I suppose. They don't really believe. They've got this kind of, you know, residue of the noble savage or something, Jean-Jacques Rousseau or something like that, where they don't believe that people are capable of that level of kind of evil, deceit, and all the rest of it. I didn't know that detail till he said it just now.
Familiar? Well, same script as the grooming gang trials, isn't it? I love you, Dad. Some of them cried, even after hearing the horrors inflicted on British girls. No guilt, no shame. Their culture tells them to lie, to save face, to preserve izzat, that precious honour that apparently justifies anything. They stand by their own, no matter what savagery they visit on us, you know, and we bend over backwards to accommodate their sensitivities, and they repay us with contempt and knives. The whole sorry lot need locking up, not just the killer, the family that covered for him, and especially the...
I mean, read in the woes account of it, all of the people involved need to be in jail, all of them. The mother, I think the mother did go to jail, but the two brothers... You know, it's ridiculous. It really is.
The officers who cocked this up so spectacularly. I mean, we demand that the officers who arrested Henry should face prison time and have their police pensions removed. No comfortable retirements on our taxes after letting a British boy die in handcuffs. We want justice. We want to see every scrap of footage as well. Henry's phone, I think there are doorbell cams, the 999 calls, the comms between dispatch and the plods on the ground, all of it. Hampshire Constabulary have serious questions to answer as well, don't they? Who were these officers? Why did they make the serious cock-up of treating a dying boy like a thug? Because an Asian man called racism. No suspensions either, apparently, just an apology and thoughts and prayers. Well, that's pathetic.
Well, they haven't been suspended. But no, surely they've been suspended. No way. Those officers haven't been suspended. Hold on a minute. Henry Novak. That can't be true. Back officer. They must have been suspended. What? What? Hold on a minute. This is from today. Officers are Nowak arrested. Nothing wrong, police watchdog claims. Now, this is in the Telegraph, but what? Dear, oh dear, oh dear. They haven't been suspended. That must be. My God.
Angry as well. I defy anyone to defend that body cam footage and those police officers. And this isn't about one bad night. It's about a country that's lost its mind, its backbone, and its instinct for self-preservation. We've imported parallel societies that don't share our values, armed them with exemptions. And
for the police not to suspend those officers is, and then today, right? That was from 38 minutes ago, that article I just read. For them today to say they did nothing wrong.
Excuses and told our own kids to shut up and tolerate it. Henry Novak paid with his life. Justice for Henry and his family. They deserve it. Release the full unedited footage. Sack the useless. Charge the negligent. And for God's sakes, though he seems to have abandoned this godless mess, wake up before more of our boys are sacrificed.
See, I don't think it's just the officers. I think it's the whole command structure. Because clearly they're still trying to cover it up. Don't forget now, Derek Chauvin's still in jail over in America. The ones that Keir Starmer was kneeling for. Those officers aren't suspended? Come on now. I'm still seeing if there's a mistake on this. No, Kemi Badenoch has been calling for them to be investigated today. They're not even being investigated. Oh, come on.
On the altar of this deranged multicultural experiment, enough is enough. Now, if Henry Novak was a non-Caucasian, ethnic minority, British streets, especially London, would be burning to the ground. There'd be riots, the lot, exactly the same thing after what happened with George Floyd. But what we have here is a legal system that's geared to be against Caucasian individuals. That's how it seems to me.
I mean, if I didn't know better, it's almost like the system is trying to radicalize people. Bloody hell. This story's something else. It really is. You know, in the years I've been running this channel, I can't remember another story that is such a heinous injustice as this one. It's just insane.
The killer knew this and he used it and he nearly got away with it because of that system. I mean, they cuffed Henry Novak. They let him die. They denied he'd been stabbed. Didn't even check him over. And they took Vikram Digra to the police station, and throughout the whole process, he was never handcuffed. And even in the police station, he was allowed to go to the kitchen to choose his own food. Disgraceful, utterly disgraceful. Hampshire police have blood on their hands and the public want answers, and we want accountability, and we want someone to blame. Someone's to blame for this, and they have to pay. And even though I don't want it to happen, I will be shocked if there aren't demonstrations in Britain after this.
I'll be shocked as well, to be honest. There does need to be justice for this. It's absolutely insane. Absolutely insane story. Cheers, Paz. Let's go to this. I think this guy calls himself Hillbilly Halfwit or Hillbilly Halfwit. He's not, I don't think he's American, though. I think he's a British guy, but he calls himself Hillbilly.
Well, hello, peeps. It's Hillbilly Halfwit. How are you today? What we're going to talk about today is that thing with Henry Novak. I'm not sure if I got the word in right of his name. I'm going to try not to mention any names because I'll only get them wrong. And what it is, if you don't know, is a really sad case. I haven't mentioned anything about it before because I wanted to make sure that everything was right. Because you can't talk about stuff like this unless you are talking about the truth. Because it's wrong, isn't it, really? If you don't know, this is from what I gather. This lad was walking home one night, and I don't know, did he get attacked or did it, a fight start or something rather, and there was this Sikh lad with a ceremonial blade, and he ended up stabbing this lad in the back of his legs when he's trying to get away as well. And when the police got there,
and in the heart, let's not forget, one in the heart, which is the one that killed him.
This is all allegedly, of course. When the police got there, they handcuffed the white lad on the floor, and they were listening to the other Sikh lad saying that he'd been saying racist stuff to him. So the lad's lying on the floor, and he's lying on the floor. I've seen the video this morning going, I'm bleeding to death, I'm bleeding to death, I can't breathe, and this sort of thing. And the police officers take no fucking notice of him at all, leave him on the floor, and he ends up dying. And while the police officers were leaving him on the floor, this was the unbelievable thing. The other guy complained that he was calling him racial slurs. And they went through, I think it was Henry Novak, I'm not sure if that is his exact name. They went through his phone. They got his phone out of his pocket while he's dying on the floor, looking for racist texts.
Fucking hell. Tell you what, if they don't do something, there's going to be a revolution in this country.
In his phone while he was dying in front of him on the floor. What the hell is going on? Now, from what I've heard today, this is why I haven't mentioned anything about it. This is all allegedly, of course. His mother, this Sikh's mother, took the knife from there, from the crime scene. His father and his brother lied and said that the other lad had been calling him racist slurs.
It just doesn't matter how many times you go over the details. It's absolutely unbelievable. If you stuck it in a movie, probably tell you it was badly written. That's how unbelievable it is. It's just insane. It's just insane. And they're still not under investigation right now. They're not even suspended, those officers. They're still, that means they've been working between last December and now. They basically killed him.
And they've had nothing. Nothing. His mother hasn't had nothing for taking the actual knife from the crime scene. Well, his father, the lad that passed away, his father gave a statement outside the court yesterday. Sorry if the wind is bad, yeah? About the state of what he thought had happened with the police and how it was dis...
I think the mother was... According to Woes, the mother was in jail. Woes is very good on the details of this, so I trust his report more than anyone else. Clearly, this chap is not like fully read up on everything. I'm pretty sure the mother did go to jail. Let's check in with Boomer Jeff. This is Jeff Taylor, who I always use as my kind of median boomer right winger.
Hello there. Don't think you have, mate.
Oh, so the mother is due to be trialed and sent. So she was actually arrested and charged, but she hasn't actually stood trial yet. So that's the current status of the mother, according to the chat.
Those dismissive words will echo down the halls of history as the very definition of the UK anti-white establishment.
But look at how rapidly this has mainstreamed phrases like anti-white. Like people are, I mean, it is, that's blatantly what it is, but look how mainstream it is now. Due to, I mean, you know, events basically are taking over in real time. Oh, that crime guy says she was found guilty. She was found guilty, according to that crime guy. So I'm pretty sure that Woe said she's in jail. So it seems like not everybody's on the same page with the details here, but I trust Woe on this.
This is what happens when you glorify and take the knee to a violent, foreign substance-fueled criminal in the form of George Floyd. The case of Henry Novak should be a wake-up call for the ordinary people of the UK. And our thoughts should be with his family and friends at this time. But do not let the establishment and the usual suspects force you to stop talking and...
Right, chat are saying the mother has not been sentenced. She's not been sentenced yet. She's due to be sentenced in mid-July, according to the chat. So is that she's been found guilty but not sentenced yet? Is that the whole thing? And the police apparently have held their word until today because they didn't want to bias the trial or something.
Thinking about him. And yes, they will use every dirty trick they can to try to get you to seal your lips. Be in absolutely no doubt about that one. And remember, if it could happen to him, it could just as easily happen to you. So do not let them rob you of your rightful cold rage. But in the eyes of the...
This is one to get angry about, guys. This, it genuinely is. It's any right-thinking person should be angry about this and want justice to be done.
The establishment, the case of Henry Novak, changes nothing. The woke, anti-white training must continue. But faster now, before everyone catches on. And the thread of anti-white bias that runs through every institution must be thickened and strengthened. It is about to get worse, ladies and gentlemen, much worse. I suspect that right now the orders are being issued to monitor all social media for hints of any backlash.
All right, Jeff. Okay, let's leave it there. So we're going to go now to cover the political angle of this story, because as you can imagine, the rightist parties have issued statements. It's already turning into a bit of a maelstrom because Farage has given this special address to the nation. And it's been controversial, let's just say, including leading to Kemi Badenoch attacking him. First of all, let's have a watch of Kemi Badenoch, the Conservative leader, on TV this morning, and then we'll have a look at Farage. And then I'm going to summon all my powers of not losing my temper, because I have made a vow not to. We're going to try to see what the backlash against Farage has been from the dog-faced gremlin. And also I've got one from the Daily Express that I want to watch as well before we hit the super chats and get out of here. All right, Badenoch.
Oh, you can see the Conservative leader, Kemi Badenoch, joins us this morning. And in the last few minutes, the leader of Reform UK, Nigel Farage, has addressed the nation, in his words, on the shocking case of the 18-year-old student Henry Novak's murder. Let's hear what he had to say this morning.
All right, hold on a second. Let's do this in the right order. We'll do Farage first, then Badenoch, then Dogface Gremlin, then the Daily Express. OK, let's do Farage first.
Morning. It's a moment to take a long, hard look at ourselves as a country and what we've become. The murder of 18-year-old student Henry Novak was bad enough of itself, but compounded in the most extraordinary way by the behaviour of the police officers. Many of us have asked for the footage to be released, and finally, last night, it was. Let me show you just 30 seconds of what happened on that fateful evening in Southampton.
Right, let's get you out of there, shall we? Oh.
I was in bed asleep. Yeah.
Grab his other arm.
Help. Gloveless.
What's happened to you, right? You've been stabbed. Whereabouts? I don't think you have, mate.
Just think of it. An 18-year-old lad, a student, been out with some friends for the evening, on the way home, and victim of a sustained attack. Stabbed several times, chased down the street. Stabbed seriously 5 times. And what happens? Well, the assailant's brother rings the police to say, we've just been racially attacked and abused by a white guy. The sirens blare, they arrive. Young Henry must have thought that at last help was at hand, but far, far from it. The police act from the beginning to the end, and the end when he dies, lying on a pavement, having been stabbed in handcuffs. The last thing he heard on this earth was him being read his rights by the police. He was actually treated in a way that meant an accusation of a racial slur was treated more seriously than an act of murder. What does he say?
Tell you what, if this is not a turning point for this country, God help us. That's all I'm going to say.
I can't breathe. Familiar words? Remember career criminal George Floyd, who died in appalling circumstances in Midwest America a few years ago. Remember the reaction to that and the way the police behaved. Within a few days, Keir Starmer was taking the knee. Black Lives Matter exploded all over the country. Churchill's statue was defaced. The cenotaph was vandalised. And yet, what has the public reaction been from our leaders and politicians? And indeed, to be frank, much of the media to this. Silence. Absolute silence. Proof, if ever there was any, that we're living in a two-tier culture in this country where the rights and privileges of white people matter less than those of ethnic minorities. Now, what has happened over the last few decades?
I hate to say this, but this could be it. This could be the thing that seals the deal for reform and Nigel. I just cannot see any circumstances where the country just tolerates this happening. So maybe this will be it. Maybe this will be make the momentum for reform basically unstoppable at this point. I don't know. Let's see what he says, because so far he said nothing controversial at all. He's just recounted events. So let's see what else he says here.
Is without anybody being asked, without anybody ever voting for it, we've been subjected to mass immigration on a scale that is truly unbelievable. At least 10 million new people have come to Britain in the last 20 years. And let's be clear, many of them are great people who work hard, have integrated and made their lives here. But far too many that have come have refused to integrate, are leading parallel lives and leaving many of our cities almost culturally unrecognisable.
Okay, now I can see why the establishment has got a problem with this. He has tied the murder to the recent influx, the recent immigration and lack of cultural integration, etc. Yeah, I can. All right, okay. Let's see where else he goes.
From what they've always been. But to stop any criticism of this, we brought in hate speech laws. We brought in a DEI agenda. We brought in what is called positive discrimination in favour of ethnic minorities over those of white people whose families have lived in Britain in many cases for centuries. That is the mess.
Okay, this is the first time I have ever heard Nigel Farage say white people who have lived here for centuries. correct me if I'm wrong, I've never heard him use that language before. Telling you, this is big, guys. This is a very big story.
We've got into. And that is why, in some ways, what happened, and despite the appalling behaviour of those police officers, but in some ways, what happened on that night in Southampton perhaps shouldn't be a surprise in two-tier Britain. Alison Pearson, journalist on the Daily Telegraph, received yesterday an email from an experienced, long-serving Hampshire police officer. In it, he makes perfectly clear that the police are told that they must respond to situations in different ways according to the ethnicity of those involved in the crime.
That's just absolutely disgusting.
Or potential crime. He also describes how a DEI agenda has gone so far through the police that people now get promoted, not on the basis of merit, not on the basis of ability, but on the basis of what their racial or religious origin is. That has led to a decline in policing standards. But think of this. Much as we may condemn the two police officers involved here, think of this. The biggest fear a police officer now has going about his or her duty on the street is the fear of being reported for having acted in a way that was racially biased. That fear, now greater than dealing with a dying man living on the ground.
I'm telling you what, guys, this is probably one fraud to the election. This right here. I just called it how I see it. And, you know, he's giving it both barrels here.
Henry's family have responded to this in just the most extraordinarily dignified way. But I suggest the rest of us respond to this with pure, cold rage. This is wrong. All the values and standards of living in a free country where everybody is judged equally before the law have been trashed and thrown.
So Farage just called for pure, cold rage. Wow. Wow. Justified too. It's righteous anger.
Thrown away. And there are one or two things that need to happen very quickly. The first is that the police complaints operation, the IOPC, needs to get to the bottom of this and produce a report very, very quickly.
I'm telling you, this is different from Farage calling for pure cold rage. He's not saying don't look back in anger. And I can now see why this has been controversial. Not only did he name white people explicitly and said they've been here for centuries, now he's calling for, he's basically saying you should be bloody angry about this. Value free, though. This is the leader people want him to be, isn't it? I've never heard Donald Trump give a speech like this.
Secondly, even through to sentencing, the sentence given was actually lower than the recommended minimum for a sustained, aggressive, murderous assault. And I'll be writing today to the Attorney General, asking him to review the sentence. But the most important thing that needs to change, that has to change, if our society is not to be ripped apart, where communities start to distrust each other and deeply distrust the police and all the other institutions of this country, is we need a change in culture. Enough of anti-white prejudice. A promotion of the idea that white,
I mean,
white life.
I'm old enough to remember. What was his name? No White Guilt. What was the name of that channel? Forget his name now. When he said, look, what we need to do is get the phrase anti-white into the discourse. And I'm old enough to remember when that was controversial. Now, Nigel Farage has not only named white people, but he is named it anti-white hatred. Let's just go back and listen to him say it again. This is a turning point. I'm telling you, one way or the other, this is probably the biggest story of the year in this country so far.
Prejudice. A promotion of the idea that white lives matter just as much as black lives. An end to DEI and positive discrimination, but a country that treats everybody equally and fairly before the law. This is serious. This is urgent. I fear for where our society would be in a few short years if we don't grip this and do it very, very quickly. I want to send my sincerest condolences, the country's sincerest condolences, to Henry's family. I hope this is the last time a British police force operates in this way. But the fish rots from the head down. It is up to government and police chiefs to change this culture and to start that process today. Thank you.
Poor, tell you what, I've never seen Farage like that before. I never heard him use the word white before, or anti-white, or refer to the fact that white people have been here for centuries, or basically call for anger and rage. Cold rage he called for. I don't know. Something in my bones tells me this is a game changer. Really seems like it. Let's see how Kemi Badenoch responded to this.
The public reaction being from our leaders and politicians, and indeed, to be frank, much of the media to this. Silence. Absolute silence. Proof, if ever there was any, that we're living in a two-tier culture in this country where the rights and privileges of white people matter less than those of ethnic minorities.
Well, it's interesting that Nigel Farage says that because, of course, we have given this story an enormous amount of prominence. It is a vitally important case. I mean, the tragedy of Henry Novak and the dignity of his father outside court, his whole family, and the trauma that they are experiencing has been prominent in our coverage this morning.
That's right. We're joined now by the leader of the Conservatives, Kemi Badenoch. Terrible, terrible case. The sentencing yesterday, a 21-year sentence.
A life sentence, a minimum of 21 years.
The father's kind of statement in the court afterwards was so powerful, so emotional. He said, as part of that, that he didn't want politics to exploit his son's murder.
Oh, fucking hell, here we go again.
What Nigel Farage is doing.
So we should not make this about Nigel Farage. This is about Henry Novak. And I listened to his father, and it was absolutely heartbreaking. And this morning I watched that body cam footage, and I just kept thinking, what if that was my boy? That his last moments were spent in handcuffs. He knew he was dying, and he could see the confusion, his attacker claiming that he had been a racist. It's an awful, awful way for anyone to die. And I don't think anyone should... it doesn't matter whether it's politicians or the police or the public. The first place we need to start is what that boy had gone through and what his family is going through. Now, what Nigel Farage is saying completely misunderstands that when the case is happening, politicians... He is a politician, by the way. He should stop pretending that he's not. He's a politician like everyone else. We wait until the sentencing before we say what we think so that we don't impact the case. Sure. That's why I'm here this morning. That case shows that something has gone very horribly wrong with policing, and I think I know why. I think that in 2020, 2021, there was a response to the George Floyd murders that is overcorrected and caused a lot of problems. I put out
that was
a report.
Black Lives Matter.
Yes,
Nigel Farage said today it should be White Lives Matter. Are you making the same point?
It should be everyone matters. It should be everyone matters.
Yeah, that was the other thing Farage said. He said White Lives Matter. Now, I'm old enough to remember when people got into trouble for putting White Lives Matter stickers on lampposts or flying a plane. I remember that made the news and everybody was like, oh, these disgusting bigots and so on. Now Nigel Farage is saying it. Kemi's trying to go back to All Lives Matter. tell you what, this is big. This is really big. It's the first time I can ever remember Nigel Farage being, dare I say it, explicitly racial about a story. And that is because this story is explicitly racial. There's no other way around it. The facts are what they are. There's just no other way around it. This happened because of woke policing. That's basically what happened.
I put out a report in 2021 saying that our country is not racist and our police are not institutionally racist. A report, you know, from the 90s said that they had been at the time, but in 2020 and even now, they are not. I had meetings with the National Police Chiefs Council, the Met, the Association of Police and Crime Commissioners, the College of Policing, telling them that a lot of the race action plans that they had brought in because of the BLM movement were going to cause more problems. And they had been warned. They have advisors telling them that they're overseeing their race action plans, activists, and it has overcorrected. And I think the training that many of these police are having don't have any common sense in them. We need to bring back common sense. You don't need to be trained on racism or anti-racism to have seen what Henry was experiencing and know that he needed help. You don't need it. Something has gone wrong with policing. But we all need to take a good, long, hard look at ourselves. It is not just the police. I remember when this movement was happening and I was saying we are creating different rules for different people.
Now, just imagine you're a normal member of the public and it's between Farage and Badenoch. It's a no-brainer, isn't it? Just value-free analysis here, guys. You know, I'm not a fan of Farage. You know, I'm not a fan of reform. But it's just obvious that she will stand no chance in any election against Nigel Farage. After he said that, and she just sounds like she's gish galloping and all over the place.
All of the people who were taking the knee about a man who died in another country should think about doing the same here. We need to bring back equality under the law. What?
The lizard brain will just say, Nigel Farage named the problem. The problem is anti-white hatred. The problem is the White Lives Matter too. And all of this guff from Badenoch will just, nobody will process that. Farage will beat Badenoch easily now.
What Nigel Farage is doing is reinforcing the difference. I have said that we need to find what we have in common, not what separates us. I don't want to hear about Black Lives Matter. I don't want to hear about White Lives Matter. We all matter. Enough of this nonsense where we keep separating everybody and splitting people into different groups. We are descending into tribalism.
So what's happened is that Kemi Badenoch is still running 2018 culture war script, whereas Farage has used this speech, this address he's given to, I don't know, like click on a gear, or he's used this speech to be like, right, you know, I'm going to reveal some of my power levels now. And I can only imagine what this is going to do to the discourse, because the fact of the matter is that all of those Harriet, you know, all of the reform supporters and the Pimlico journals and Harry and Gladive and all those guys, they'll just be able to say, well, look, Farage just came straight out and said it. And, you know, with as angry as people are in the country, that may be enough. Just is where it is.
I do not want that. It is why I say that we should be a multiracial country, not a multicultural country. Let's have one shared culture, British culture. How the police treat everyone should not matter, depending on the color of their skin. And we shouldn't pretend that racism is something that only happens to ethnic minorities. It happens to everybody, black or white. What I do not like is seeing Nigel Farage jump on this issue when he doesn't do any work, he doesn't turn up to Parliament, he doesn't take things seriously, but he sees this as an opportunity for him to grandstand. I am not grandstanding. I will say that a lot more needs to be done. Policing is operationally independent. I think we need to look a bit more at what is going on in terms of how the police are conducting themselves. There are many hundreds of thousands of great police officers out there. I think we should be specific about what these officers...
I think the problem is that Kemi's moment was about 6 or 7 years ago, and events and just times have moved on, and no, like Farage is going to resonate more than this kind of let's go back to colorblindness type stuff from her.
officers did. There are many good police officers who help people of all colours and all religions every single day.
So to be clear, when Henry's dad says we shouldn't use his son's murder for a political purpose, and you're saying that Nigel Farage is doing that...
We should not be...
Are you doing that as well, or are you saying something about policing?
So I'm talking about how we need to change policing. I'm not making this about...
The thing is, Ed Balls, OK? How... And the thing is, right, maybe the nudge unit told his dad to say that, but how can this not be political? It's already political. It was political when the police were called up for racism in the first place. It was political when they let the guy die, right, because he was accused of racism and they were there to arrest him for racism. So they treated him like they basically wouldn't listen to him. Of course it's political. The whole thing is always already political. So this is a nonsense line, you know, from Ed Balls and, you know, from the people who made the father say that.
The Conservative Party, but I'm also not making this about white people or black people. I think it was wrong for him to do that. We have been...
But it is about white people because Novak was killed because he was white. If he wasn't, the police would have checked to see if he'd had any wounds or they would have listened to him. So he explicitly died because the police, you know, reading in the Riot Act while he was dying. And it happened because he was white. There's just no way around it, Kemi. You might be colorblind, but the law is not, apparently. And that's the problem that Farage is pointing to.
Racializing too many things. And I did say it at the time, for a lot of the people who were pushing for more specific policies for black people, for Asians, for ethnic minorities, that a backlash will come. If you encourage people to think about themselves as being part of a group defined by their skin color, you will encourage everybody to do that.
But hold on a second, Kemi. This didn't happen because Henry Novak was encouraged to think of himself as white. This happened because the officers involved treated him like a scumbag because he was white and was accused of racism. That's why it happened. So it happened due to anti-white prejudice in the system. Systemic anti-white prejudice, you could say. So I still don't think your framing is right on this at all.
And we are seeing more of this, especially online. We're seeing more of this. We see ethno-nationalism rising, where people are saying, well, if ethnic minorities are going to do this, if black people or Asians or Muslims are doing this, we'll do this for white people as well. Nigel Farage is taking sides. I'm not taking sides. I'm saying
Hold on, Kemi. Why are you not... Hold on. I just don't understand this kind of... What is this frame? How can you not take sides? This is one of the clearest cases of injustice I've ever seen. And you're not taking sides? Again, I think this is significant. And I remember when, you know, they used to talk about the longest suicide note in history of Michael Foot in 1983. This might be the end of Kemi. Farage, I don't care what people say, has locked it. With that, he has massively, massively boosted his chances of forming a government now, I would say. And Kemi, I would say, this is a disaster. This interview is a disaster from Kemi Badenoch. Completely the wrong response. Completely the wrong response.
We need to stop this racializing of our society. We are multiracial, yes, but we need to stop using race as a way of defining laws, as a way of hiring people. Let's treat everyone equally. No two-tier policing. No believing that racism only happens to ethnic minorities. It happens to everyone. And the police need to be trained like that, not with the terrible anti-racism training, which is just reverse racism and reverse discrimination. We need to root it out of the system. I did my bit when I was in government. More needs to be done. And we need to look at how independent the police are on this. I don't think that these things should be allowed. The police should be allowed just to do it independently. I think others need to go in, and that will require politicians and perhaps legislation.
And there is now an inquiry into what on earth the police thought they were doing when they told Henry Novak that they didn't think he'd been stabbed when he absolutely had and was lying dying. Okay.
It's upsetting.
It's incredibly upsetting.
It's upsetting.
I have
a nine-year-old boy. In 10 years, he'll be about that age. He is half black, half white. I bring him up. to believe that this country is one where he belongs and he belongs to every group that he wants to be and that he should never worry about how he'll be treated. And you see that video and you think, how can we tell our children these things? I want that to be the reality, and that's what I'm fighting for.
Talking to you now, we can feel your upset and your anger, and we all feel upset and angry about this terrible case. But I feel also that what Nigel Farage is doing live on our televisions today is also making you angry.
It is making me angry, because that's not how we solve this. That's not how we solve this. We can't solve it by whipping people up. We can't solve it by making them angry. I do think that...
Why not? Look at all what was done for George Floyd, because people got angry about that. So why not? I don't understand this line that I knew that would be the thing that would set people off. It's even more that Farage, you know, mentioned white people and White Lives Matter and anti-whiteness. But also he said you need to feel cold rage. But the question I've got for Kemi Badenoch is, how does political change happen? What is the efficacy? Like, conservatives have been, you know, not angry for 100 years at this point, and they've taken nothing but L's, L, 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 all the way for 80 straight years, back to bloody Churchill. When I look at the other side, who have engaged in all manner of terrible things, both in America and in this country, they've got their own way, again and again and again and again and again. Whether it's the black community or the Muslim community, or, you know, like, they're allowed to have their anger, and then they also get their own way. So you're telling white people, Kemi Badenoch, that they're not allowed to get angry because this happened to one of their own. How is that just? Because that was not the conversation that was had when George Floyd was killed. It is not the conversation that was had, any number of incidents that have happened in the past. It's not what you were saying, Kemi Badenoch, when you went down to Golders Green when a couple of ambulances were burnt. I remember that. You weren't saying don't get angry about it then. So why are you saying don't be angry about it now? This is the issue, and this is why Nigel Farage has basically just won any future election with that speech.
Politicians need to stop being scared of talking about these things. I've never been scared to talk about it. I remember at the time when Keir Starmer and Angela Rayner were taking the knee. That's not what we're there for. We're not there to virtue signal and do symbolism. We are there to look at the detail. I put out a report saying what was wrong with policing, and instead, the people who helped write it were called race traitors. They were attacked for saying that this country is not racist. I was attacked for saying this country is not racist, that there are other problems that we need to look at that are causing disparities. But racism is not the thing that is making our country poorer, that's taking us backwards. We need to stop importing a lot of American issues into the UK. Enough.
This is not an American issue, Kemi. This happened here. That boy was killed because of anti-whiteism in the police force. And you can't say it. Nigel Farage did say it. This is a car crash from Kemi Badenoch. I'm sorry.
Let's just put that issue to one side for the moment, simply because the reason you were originally going to be here was because yesterday we had the release of the Mandelson files, which is...
All right, I'm not going to touch Mandelson files today. That's a story for a different day, I think. just terrible. Let's get on now to James O'Brien's reaction to Farage. And steady yourselves, guys. Get your special stress balls ready, because this is a while. He also has a guest on as well. Just steady yourselves.
Impossible to pick the worst bit of the murder of Henry Novak, but I think probably the police officer telling him, as he revealed, stated that he'd been stabbed. I don't think so, mate, is probably the most unbearable element of all of it. And those police officers already under investigation by the relevant authorities.
So they are under investigation, because the Telegraph are saying they're not under investigation. See, I can't get clarity on this story. Are the police officers under investigation or not? I read they haven't been suspended, and that was published 38 minutes ago in the Telegraph.
And the problem is that where you see tragedy and horror, and where you feel disgust and heartbreak, other people see opportunity and feel an almost sort of gleeful relish at the prospect of provoking more violent responses, just as the same people did after the murders in Southport, having helped spread profoundly and entirely untrue lies about the murderer in that case. And, of course, when people, as a consequence of those lies, took to the streets to attack entire...
So what James O'Brien is saying here is that Farage saying cold rage was an incitement to violence. He is claiming that Farage is trying to incite people to violence with that speech. Is that what he was saying, though? He was saying you should be angry about this and demand change. He wasn't calling for violence. Anyway, this is the angle O'Brien's going with.
Highly innocent people, and took to social media to call for pogroms in profoundly illegal ways. They have been lauded and defended by precisely the sort of people who woke up this morning and saw not tragedy, but opportunity. And, of course, some people lack the conscience to recognise that and will instead offer platforms and amplifications of calls for, I mean, so perilously close, so vanishingly close.
Well, what were you saying during the Summer of Love, though, out of interest? What did you say during the BLM riots? Mostly peaceful protests, or what was it? Violence is the language of the unheard. Violence is the language of the unheard. Do you remember that one? Now, I don't know if O'Brien personally said any of those things, but I can imagine he treated the story differently.
To violence, that you may not need have bothered with the euphemisms. Respond with cold, hard rage, said Nigel Farage. What does that mean? If not, do what you did after the Southport killings when I was responsible for spreading deep and racist lies. And I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about that. I don't really want to talk about him. And yet you look across the media spectrum and you see the attention that's being paid to his latest attempts at sowing hatred and division. Listen, feel what you want about the murderer. I feel deep and abiding hatred towards him.
What about the police? What about the injustice that's been done? That's what people are angry about, James. The boy ended up dead because of the negligence of the police officers involved due to their anti-white ideology. This is the core of the issue. So, yeah, you can be angry at the murderer and the killer and all of that, and the whole family seemed to be evil from what I've read about it. But the point is, James, the heart of this story is that he was killed. He ended up dead because of the police's woke ideology. How can you not be angry about that? Or how can you not want justice about that? That is the whole issue. And that is what Nigel Farage was talking about. So what's your argument here?
I hope he is never released. You know, it doesn't matter how bleeding your liberal heart may be. There are many, many crimes that just sort of almost compel you to leave any form of compassion or sympathy at the door. He sounds like a hideous little man and has committed a truly, truly heinous crime. Apart from the father, talking about the lack of dignity with which his son died and a police officer telling him that he didn't think he had been stabbed when he'd been stabbed multiple times. The sister, Henry's sister, talking about the hole that has been left in her life was close to...
But why did the police officer say that? You cannot discuss this story without addressing this. Why did the police officer say that? He said it because he was white, and he said it because he was there to arrest him for racism. That is the whole story. How is O'Brien possibly going to cover this without getting to that?
Who was close to unbearable. But do we let him and his hatred and his desire for violence on the streets of our country distract us from...
Farage didn't call for violence. He was saying you should be angry and therefore want change out of this. He wasn't saying take to the streets. He wasn't calling for violence. Come on, James. This is so disingenuous.
The horror of what happened to Henry? Do we let him and his vicious lies about two-tier policing?
How is it not two-tier policing? How is it possibly not two-tier policing? In this specific case, it is the most open and shut case of injustice I've ever seen. It is so plain. You can't just come out and say that, James. Come on now.
It's deployment of white supremacist slogans like White Lives Matter. Some people referencing George Floyd this morning, a man who was murdered by white racist policemen. Henry Novak murdered by a British youngster, a young British man. Of course, some people want to stick Sikh in the headlines in ways that they would.
Right, so in one case, it's white supremacist, but in the other case, it's just a British lad. Do you see what he's doing here? This is pretty sick from James O'Brien. It really is sick. Just even in this little diagram, do you see the somersaults he's pulling here? And the reason that people are comparing it to George Floyd is because it's exactly the same phrase that was used, "I can't breathe." Come on, it's not. It is a parallel any person's going to make. Because it's the exact same phrase.
Never stick Christian or Jew or some other religions. I can't remember the last time I read about a Catholic murderer, but given that the weapon he used was something that some people of that faith are permitted to carry in public, then...
It's also highly relevant that he was Sikh because he called the cops on the guy he killed, accusing him of racism. Right. So the fact that one of the guys was white and the other guy was brown and Sikh in this case is highly relevant to the story because they are details that cannot make sense of the story otherwise. So these mental gymnastics from James O'Brien, he is having to perform mental somersaults at an astonishing rate. To hold his frame here, it's a dismal failure. He cannot speak honestly about this story.
I can sort of see why. Daily Mail, in a particularly disgusting stoop, even by their standards, puts the word Sikh in quotes that are attributed to Henry's father, despite the fact that Henry's father did not use the word Sikh, as far as I can tell, in his heartfelt and heartbreaking... description of his son's final hours. Police dragged our son across gravel, handcuffed him and left him to die, then treated his Sikh murderer with decency. That's in quotes in the Daily Mail. And yet what he actually said, what Mark...
Why is that a disgrace? It's a relevant detail. I mean, how are you meant to talk about anything if in James O'Brien's world it's disgraceful just to describe the guy who, like, the guy is a Sikh? He bloody killed the guy with a ceremonial Sikh knife. There's no other way to talk about this story. I just don't understand this. This is the worldview that James O'Brien inhabits when it comes to this particular story. It's like a mental disease.
Novak actually said, his murderer, however, was afforded decency. He was believed. He was not handcuffed when arrested. He was not handcuffed when transported to the police station. As far as we understand, he was never handcuffed at all. Actually, I just want you to hear his words for yourself. I you'll have to ask the editor of the Daily Mail why they've pretended that he used the word Sikh in these comments. Just as you'd have to ask Nigel Farage yourself how he could have woken up this morning and seen opportunity where everybody, half decent, sees tragedy and horror. Again, I say it again.
There's an injustice that's been done, and it's been done because the fact of this matter is that this happened because the guy was white, because of anti-white ideology. There's just no way, the way this is just a tragedy. It's not just a tragedy. The relevant facts are this happened specifically because of this. The cops were there not because he was stabbed, but because he was accused of racism. These are the facts. Must not get angry.
Feel anything you want about the killer. I've got this weird habit of not wanting to say the killer's name when I'm on the radio. It's pathetic. It is genuinely pathetic on my part because it achieves nothing. But it's almost as if you dirty your own tongue by saying it. I just want you to listen to what Peter Novak had to say outside court yesterday. And I think it's also important to remember when his son's murderer was sentenced to life in prison after an investigation by police officers who Peter Novak thanked. You could be forgiven for not knowing a lot of things about this story if you're following some outlets. The 999 call was made by the murderer's brother. I don't know what the rules are for police turning up, but I would imagine that...
The brother called the police accusing Novak of racism. Come on now, James. This is negligent. This is actually like borderline in breach of Ofcom standards. Come on now.
The first people you turn to are the people that called you. And then a criminal lies. A disgusting criminal tells disgusting lies. And the reaction of the police is so awful that it's almost impossible to believe. It may become easier to believe when we have all the facts, but the reply, "I don't think you have, mate," audible on the body cam footage released last night by the police with the family's permission. This would be the police that are somehow engaging in two-tier policing or not to be trusted, or the police that some people want you to start attacking today. They released the body cam footage. So committed are they to full transparency. And you can hear this police officer say, "I don't think you have, mate. I've been stabbed and I can't breathe. I don't think you have, mate."
Because he was there to arrest him for racism. Really, really, really pivotal plot point has not been mentioned by O'Brien. Now, as we've seen on this show, this is the presenter. He's not like you, don't forget. He is the number one radio presenter in this country. Not like you, remember? From all those other weeks we've watched him. You can't get this one little detail because it's really the crucial detail of the story, and you've still not mentioned it in 6 minutes now.
And I don't know what to do today because, I mean, there is no phone in to have about Henry. What happened to him was disgusting and heartbreaking. And there is a phone in to have about a disgusting man seeking to make political capital out of it and being aided and abetted by members of my profession. Having already seen what happened when, I mean, the riots in Southport were named after him by many people.
All right, so the phone in is not about what happened to Henry Novak. The phone in now has to be about what an awful man Farage is. This is disgusting from O'Brien. Just absolutely revolting piece of radio from him. 7 minutes of lies by omission, not getting the story in the room, and actually twisting everything around to just get Farage. It's gross. It really is disgusting what he's done here.
Myself included. We all know what the Farage riots are. We all know that people arrested during them.
All right, that's enough of this. Let's have a look at his... he brings in a guest now. He brings in a guest. Let's check out the guest.
Good question. Or do you just want to speak, as my callers have done this morning, from the hip, as it were?
Well, morning, James. Thanks for inviting me on. I've turned down probably 20 media interviews for the sake of the family. So I caught the last interview you had. I've heard what...
I don't know why there's no picture. Why is there no picture? Let's see if I can re... Because it's the former Met police commissioner. Let me see if I can get this... Let me see if I can get this video again. It hasn't come out properly for some reason. Ah, flimmin' heck. What an awful, awful monologue that was from O'Brien. Just seeing if I can download this video again, because it's coming again now. The former Met assistant commissioner comes on O'Brien's show, presumably to help out his fellow police from getting any genuine scrutiny, and also looking at the law that has produced this travesty of justice. If it doesn't come out again, we're going to skip it, because I'm not sure I can handle any more of Brian. I've done very well to keep my calm, haven't I? Would you guys agree? I've kept my vow of calm. But, all right, let's get this up.
The family have said... they're absolutely right. I mean, the fact that such a horrific incident where they will be grieving beyond measure, probably for the rest of their lives, should be turned into a political moment has been the worst thing I've heard last night and today. I couldn't bring myself to come on initially. Yeah. And then I was sent by your producer, Nigel Farage's emergency address. And I thought, that cannot be allowed to stand. I'm surprised no current serving chief constable has come on.
Why can't it be allowed to stand? Why can't it be allowed to stand? I don't understand. I mean, far be it for me to defend Farage, but what's happened is a disgrace. It's a disgrace to the police. It's a disgrace to the country. It's a disgrace to our legal system. It's a disgrace to... I mean, it really is a dark moment in the history of the country. For him to come on here and say, Farage shouldn't be allowed to make the speech he did is just repugnant beyond words. Of course he should. The whole country needs to demand this changes immediately.
To address that kind of language, because it is inflammatory, it is extremist, it is divisive, it's... Everything.
What was inflammatory or extremist that Nigel Farage said? The guy died because he was white due to anti-white policing. He said white lives matter. And he said that you should feel cold rage about this, presumably in his role as the head of reform, demanding political change in the country in a context where he wants to be prime minister. In what possible respect should he not be allowed to say any of those things in this country? Neil Basu.
Family didn't want. I'm sure the family are reacting to it as well. This is not the time for that kind of language. And as you've quite rightly said, the officers who were involved in this made what everyone can see on the body-worn camera and with hindsight, a catastrophic error of judgment. What will have happened to them in the first 24 hours is their professional standards unit will have informed the Independent Office of Police complaints. They will have been reported and they will be being held to account. That will have been paused for the murder investigation and the trial to take place and will now be going ahead. So they will be held to account for the mistakes they've made in responding to this.
But why did they make those mistakes? They made those mistakes because it was a racism incident. It happened because they thought he was a scumbag because the killer called him a racist. This is the necessary context that you guys keep on skirting around here on LBC. You're not giving the listeners the full story.
And those mistakes will live with the family forever as well. It's a terrible thing, but it doesn't justify the commentary that we've heard from every politician, Nigel Farage, Chris Philp, I've heard others talking about it. Nick Thomas Simmons, probably the only balanced view I've heard from a politician in the last 24 hours. Let's have the inquiry. Let's hold the officers to account. They will be expecting that. They know that's happening. Hampshire released the video. But we...
The sheer brass balls on this guy to come on here and say these things. Just the brass balls on him. Try to tell people how they could discuss this story. What is this, like a police cover-up job or... Yeah.
We know who's responsible for this, and the murderer, the monster that he is serving the time that he absolutely deserves. And his own family have said, and let's not make this... In the way we're making these, the actions of these police officers somehow the actions of policing as a profession, we shouldn't be making the actions of one Sikh boy the actions of the Sikh community. And language that has been used by people like...
But nobody's blaming the Sikh community. People are blaming the system itself. I haven't heard a single person blame the Sikh community. What I heard Nigel Farage saying is that this system is geared against white people and that he died as a direct result of that. That is the issue. The issue is that he wasn't saying anything about the Sikh community. Don't talk nonsense.
Like Farage, yet again, he did this up following Southport. He's doing it again. He's doing it for political points. It's extreme language. It's really not going to help.
And is it?
Situation in this society today.
I mean, I follow these things quite closely as you do, and even I've been somewhat taken aback by the new grift that being white somehow makes you less likely to receive full and fair policing. That this.
Yes, because that's why he died.
Phrase two-tier policing, which is simultaneously meaningless and hideous, is gaining traction, which, of course, partly explains why people start lobbing bricks at police officers when they turn up for the latest round of the Farage riots.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really care whether you're right or left or centrist or liberal. I mean, undermining policing, the criminal justice system, in this way is a ridiculous thing for a politician who wants to govern the country.
Look, I hate to defend Farage, but Farage is not undermining the police. Farage is saying, what the hell has happened here? The police need to be held accountable and this needs not to happen again. It's not Farage's fault that this happened. It's literally the police's fault that this happened. This guy, this Neil Basu, is just the epitome of every single thing wrong with this country. This faceless, bureaucrat, disgusting, politically correct individual here. Just bending over backwards not to actually address the story. It's gross is what it is.
All of the country, presumably, not just the people he likes. It's a ridiculous thing to do. And he's returning to an old trope that they've used before in terms of two-tier policing. I mean, policing gets things wrong every day, but it also gets things right every day. And as Nick Thompson has said this morning, you know, many thousands of them marching towards danger on our behalf every day, doing the best that they can, putting themselves on the line, do not need to be traduced by comments like two-tier policing.
Well, what was it then? If it wasn't two-tier policing, what was it? Why didn't they check the guy's wounds? Why did they read him the riot act as he was literally dying and bled to death? How did that happen, Neil Basu? Why did it happen? The problem is that. The problem isn't Nigel Farage telling his supporters and using his political party and influence to try to change it or draw attention to it. That's not the problem. The problem is the thing itself.
And of course, it's just factually incorrect. I was a detective for most of my career. There's absolutely no evidence of two-tier policing. You know, if you were a black person or a brown person or any ethnic minority in the country today, you'd be quite surprised to hear that you are currently being favoured by the criminal justice system, including law enforcement, over white people. The police force is 90%.
We're talking about a case where a Sikh gentleman killed a white gentleman in cold blood, and the police came in and sided with the killer. How can he say that? How can he possibly come on here and just say that? Bloody, I'd hate to be in the neighbourhood where this dude was a detective. Eat your heart out, Columbo. Give it up, Kojak. This guy's on... Basu's on the case. Oh, he hasn't even got the basic details of what's happening correct. Oh, brilliant. Nice one, Neil. Better give him a promotion then. Better make him the assistant Met commissioner. Like I said, the exact problem with this country is this guy right here. People like him all over the country, in and out of our institutions, failing upwards.
White, 75% male. It is very unlikely that in the 3 years I've been retired, policing for the first time in its 200 years has become anti-white. I mean,
yes,
just saying that out loud sounds ridiculous.
Well, yeah, well, except until it doesn't, I suppose.
Well, the guy is dead. The guy was murdered because of this. And you're saying, oh, it's ridiculous. Oh, it's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. Oh, it's just... Come on, Basu.
Say it loud enough and say it disingenuously enough, and some people will come along with it. Can I ask? I mean, you may not be able to ask these questions, but do things like who made the 999 call matter? If the brother of the murderer made the call, claiming that his brother was the victim, would that influence how the police responded in the first instance?
Yeah, I mean, this is
right. Finally, O'Brien has mentioned what actually happened. Finally, we're getting to this really crucial little detail that the Sikh family here, the I forget the name now, the Digwal family, whatever they're called, conspired around their murderous brother and concocted all of these lies, accusing the guy who was killed of being a racist, getting the police on their side against him because of the magic of that word racism. This is the heart of the story. And these two people here who've just been giggling to themselves about the very notion that the police could be anti-white. This is the heart of the story. So let's see what you say, Basu.
When I talk about catastrophic errors of judgment, any police officer going to any call has to get as much information or intelligence as they possibly can before they arrive at the call, for their own safety and for their own understanding and to prepare themselves for what they face. What you shouldn't let that do is cloud your judgment and give you one fixed understanding of the situation you're about to face. That does seem to be, and we can see it on the body-worn camera, and fair play to Hampshire Police for releasing that. There was a time when policing just simply would not do that and would not be that transparent. Well, we can see it.
Well done, Hampshire Police. You released the footage 6 months later. Just give it up for Hampshire Police. You know, the guy is dead. It's happened, but, you know, they released the footage. Well done, Hampshire Police. Just fucking brilliant. It just, the balls on this guy is just incredible.
Yeah, questions have got to be asked about professional curiosity, about your ability to investigate, for your ability to take both sides of a story and make dynamic decisions as it unfolds in front of you. They clearly made a catastrophic error of judgment.
Would you expect the head of the Met to say something about this? I mean, it's possible that there's an interpretation of pure cold rage that doesn't involve civil disobedience or abuse of police officers or pogroms like the ones that we saw last time Farage responded to a crime committed by somebody with dark skin. Would you expect the head of the Met, the commissioner, to comment?
So James O'Brien now wants to report Nigel Farage to the police for incitement of violence. Give me a break.
On this, because it may work to his favour. It adds to his ludicrous narrative of victimhood.
I wouldn't expect the head of the Met to be commenting on a Hampshire police investigation.
But no, on Farage's words, more so than on the Hampshire activities.
No, the thing with being a senior police officer, as I well know from my time as a senior police officer, is taking on politicians in public, as Sir Mark Rowley found out with Zach Polanski,
yeah,
is a DEFCON 1 moment. You know, police officers should not be politicised in the way that Nigel Farage comments are politicising policing.
Mm.
I just don't understand how this story cannot be political. To say, the police should not be politicised, the whole story is political, and it's because of politics in the police force. And it's because of politics that's got into our justice system. There is no way to depoliticize the story. It is always already political. I just don't get it. I just don't get this, the frame of this Neil Basu character.
Police officers themselves shouldn't go out and talk about politicians' comments in public. Politicians should be held to account by the public who elect them, preferably at the ballot box.
This, you know, in exactly the same way that Keir Starmer is just like the system as a man, this Neil Basu is also just like the system as a man. It's horrible. The bureaucrat, the pure bureaucrat, just horrible. We need more common sense in all our institutions, to be honest.
But police officers could describe exactly what's happening in this case and say that, you know, and basically, but, you know, support the family's view. You know, the family's view is this is not a moment for politics. This is a moment for an investigation and an inquiry to hold poor policing to account. We've seen that many times before. I think we're getting better at that. I think policing is.
Can you guys hear me here? Can you guys hear me? I hope you can hear me, guys. All right, let's hit the super chats and get out of here, shall we? I'll hit the super chats first, then we'll do the super thanks. Third man says. A while ago, you tweeted something like, when change comes, it will be fast and severe. What exactly did you mean by that? Well, I just think that when the winds change, they'll change properly. That's what I meant. That didn't happen is just become a channel member. You too should become a channel member, of course. Zinni says, I hate to be blackpilled, but given that the British state is absolutely not run by and for Brits, absolutely nothing will happen. This is the system working as intended. I actually disagree with that. I think that this will be a turning point. I think that speech by Farage is a turning point. I think this is a hinge point for the country, and I think we're basically guaranteed a reform government now. The Clan Adventure says, the normies at my work are starting to notice that I'm in Scotland. Not long now. Thanks a lot for that. One of the whole purposes of playing those videos at the start was showing you that all of those YouTubers, the YouTubers are just normal people. It's normal, everyday men making videos about the state of the country. Basket Weaver says, what do we do about this except watch with our eyes open, like in Clockwork Orange? I do think sentiment is reaching a kind of critical point on this sort of thing, despite the efforts of James O'Brien and that stooge just now. $11 cheese says, need some police to resign and give the public an expose on what goes on in the halls of law enforcement buildings, although they're probably screened before hiring to prevent such occurrences. I think Hampshire police is due a thorough kind of a turnover of the people there from the top down. Just absolutely disgraceful. Altheist says, teenage family member of mine was recently murdered by an illegal, and it is hard to describe what it does to you when it hits at home. I hope none of you ever face that darkness. Well, I'm very, very, very sorry to hear that. Very sorry to hear that, indeed. And thoughts go out to your family. Thomas says, the audacity of Kemi to accuse us of racializing this issue. Her side are the ones who racialized policing and allowed this to happen in the first place. Yeah, never forget it happened under the Tories, this change to the, you know. C123 says, curious if this saga will make Mr. Ovacad rethink his undying devotion to the Sikh people. Yeah, and Tommy maybe. Sir Blank says, white victim, cops are six, perpetrator, media cover-up, judges give lenient sentences, another day in America. The UK is now the USA. Yeah, that's another way of looking at it, I suppose. $11, she says, the fact that the Sikhs knew that telling the police Henry was racist would absolve them should say all you know about modern policing. Yeah, and that is the elephant in the room that O'Brien just refused to address for about 15 minutes straight. And even when he asked Basu about it, they kind of down-pedaled that part of the story, which is really very pivotal, really very pivotal. Principled Uncertainty says, what enrages me is that my children have done all the right things and played the game well, but this now guarantees them nothing. This country feels more broken than it was in the 1970s. At least then we could imagine a brighter future. I think a lot of people share those sentiments, principled uncertainty, but I honestly think change is going to come. I really do. I really do think that this incident in particular and Farage's speech, strangely, signals a change, even if he's doing it for containment, as he almost certainly is. I think that the nation just won't put up with this for too much longer. I don't think. I think we are at a kind of point where, you know, we have to make a decision, and the chain of events that led to this can't be allowed to happen again. George says, do you think Nigel's speech was to stop, restore, or does it depend Nigel keeps up his rhetoric? I don't know, George. I really don't. I've never seen Farage like that before. And my instinct is to say that it's just won in the election. That's my instinct, to be honest. Not So Good says, I think Connor said this, and maybe it's poor form to say it too soon, but it seems like Henry's parents were coached to say what they said. Of course they were. Of course, the Nudge unit would get straight involved with a story like this. So there we are. Okay, I now have to hit some super thanks here. Super thanks for the past week are as follows, and there's been quite a few of them as well. Let's just loading a second. So, from last week, no, not last week's office hours, from Let's do it from last week's Deepest Lore. Yeah, you will not believe this, but aliens are real. So this was 2 weeks ago, but Dave Harris left it here. He says, read the Ian Dale talk. I wonder if any Lavender men were involved with Restore. It would be a shame if people who love political gossip, the Barbie movie, and we're all still fairly heavily involved with various Tory-adjacent think tanks and media companies. That would be a shame. Incidentally, along with Tories, a lot of hyper-Christians end up living double lives in the end. As far as I know, Dave, all of the Restore guys are straight with wives. I don't think there are any Lavender men in the Tory in Restore from what I've seen anyway. C123 says on somehow the Dark Lord has returned. That was last week's Deepest Lore. This interview was so based that I think you need to start every show with a Tony Blair song for the next month in honor of his manifold greatness. Things can only get better. This is Vigot Anto on Is Carl Benjamin Wrong About Nationalism? That was my interview with Mike from Imperium from last week. Integral to the British Anglo identity is our love and veneration and worship of nature, the seasons and seasonal thinking. The maypole feels inauthentic because the pagan foundation has been supplanted. With that said, the tradition itself persists in our secular loves of gardening, nature and ecological preservation and the manicure of the nature around us. Maybe have survived the jive on for a chat on these subjects. All the best. Love the work as ever. I would agree with that. I think the worship of nature and the seasonal cycles is very deeply ingrained into British identity. I've also been interested recently, you know, I have an interest in the esoteric, in how much of the history of, let's just say, esoteric thought and lore is actually British. It is actually British in orientation, to a point where, if it wasn't for the British, I don't think like modern esotericism would even be a thing. I don't think it'd even be a thing. That is very interesting to me. I think you're absolutely right. In my book Shakespeare's Moral Compass, I talk about Shakespeare's kind of strange morality of nature, which is curiously not quite the Christianity you'd imagine. And this was noted by many writers before me as well, including by the scholar John Danby. So that there's definitely something to what you're saying there. Bram Zwingli on my video from last week, Alchemical Transmutation, Why Positive Thinking Won't Lead to Lasting Change. He just says, brilliant content. What initiations do you have? Well, Bram Zwingli, I can't talk about those sorts of things on here. What I will do is share with you those things I think I can share with you. Funtamari on Is Tony Blair Trying to Destroy Labour? Says, really good vid, AA. These style are always your strongest. People love the Dark Lord watch, of course. Well, thank you very much for that. Fresh Bobber says, this is on the video from this morning when Caleb Maupin met Vladimir Putin. He says, Mr. Maupin agrees that wealth is created through human labor and that a larger population therefore means greater productive capacity. This view puzzles me. If that were true, shouldn't India be significantly wealthier than Switzerland? Isn't real prosperity determined instead by how productive each individual is relative to what they consume? True wealth stems not from the sheer quantity of labor, but from its quality and efficiency. Well, I can't answer that question for Mr. Maupin, I'm afraid, because obviously I don't share his economic priors. And even though I have come to believe that some degree of force is necessary, my economic priors are still quite deeply wedded to the Austrian school. And the reason for that is because I've looked at, I just think that their explanation of the mundane mechanics, right, the mundane economics of how things actually work in the real world is actually the most realistic one, right? When you really understand what they're saying. Maybe I'll do a little return to economics soon to outline why I still haven't fully abandoned Austrian economics. One of the reasons, though, is subjectivism. I don't believe in objective value, in objective. I think that a lot of what people are prepared to pay for things are still mainly up there, right, in the head. And this has a great many consequences. If you understand the Austrian concept of cost, all cost is opportunity cost and all cost is foregone. That means that cost only exists as a psychological phenomena. Okay. Let's say I buy a bunch of gems from a merchant. Okay. And I spend, I give a merchant 10 grand for a bunch of gems, thinking, oh, I can sell these for 20 grand. Okay. Have I lost 10 grand? Now, objectively speaking, I have not, quote unquote, lost 10 grand. I have exchanged 10 grand in exchange for the gems. Okay. I have gained some gems in exchange for the £10,000 I was willing to pay for them. Okay. Now let's just pretend that I can't shift those gems. And in a year's time, I end up selling them to some other douchebag for 8 grand. Okay. Now you could say, well, I made a 2 grand loss on those gems. Okay. I made, because I bought them for 10,000 and I sold them on for only 8. So I made a loss. But what is that we're measuring there? It is only actually experienced as a psychological phenomena, only actually experienced as a psychological thing. And this is readily seen when you consider the fact that items, regardless of where you set their retail price, what they will actually retail for varies. And if you can't shift them, you drop the price. That shows you that the ultimate root of all value is subjective. And this is the thing I struggle with, because every other system, including the Chicago School, has this box called cost, right? They say, well, the cost of the good is built into the price of the good. Yeah, not really. If you're properly or Austrian and autistic about it, that's not actually what's happening. The money that you paid for the equipment, for the goods, is foregone. That has gone. It's lost, right? It is exchanged already. So it actually does not come into what the good sells for at the end of the chain. And, you know, if me and Caleb ever really wanted to go on it on economics, these are the sorts of issues I get it. But when I'm interviewing someone, I like to let them speak. I don't want to be adversarial and so on. So these are some of the things that I genuinely struggle with myself, because on pretty much every issue, I still think the Austrians have the correct mechanical explanation of what is actually happening. Okay. Where I may disagree with them is in the libertarianism, right? Because it functions that way does not necessarily mean there should be no government controls, or, you know, I'd be for anarcho-tyranny or whatever. What do they call it? It's not anarcho-tyranny. What do they call it? Anarcho-capitalism and all that sort of stuff. So, but in my heart of hearts, I still have an Austrian base. John Dare says, following your example, I am also leaving X, and he's given me $50. God bless you, John. Thanks a lot for that. $50. I'll try to put it to good use. It has been a long time coming, but it's for the best. Keep calm and ride the tiger. Thanks. Well, I have to say, I made that video on leaving X, and you know, I was genuinely quite touched. I reckon more than 50 people said that they would also leave. Lots and lots of people said, "You're leaving, I'm going to leave too." Not necessarily because I'm leaving, but because it gave them the courage also to be like, "I want to make this change in my life too." And I'm really pleased, because I said if 5 people do it, it'll have been a video worth making. And I want to bring uplift in people's lives. I want to be a force of good for people. And genuinely, if those 50 people genuinely have changed, genuinely have left as well, then it was worth doing. It really was worth doing. So, yeah, thanks for that, John Darry. And I'm also glad. Maybe we should form like a support group. You know, like Alcoholics Anonymous, we could do like Twitter, X Twitter Addicts Anonymous, or like a support group. You know, what can we do to help each other not to go back on? I have decided I'm staying off for life. I am staying off for life. All right, but you know how dark it is, how demonic a force it is dragging you back downwards. We have to help each other. We all have to help each other. Not go back on. Maybe I'll even like run a not being on Twitter stream or something. We'll figure out a way of doing it. Monothalma says on the same video, "Sad to see you go, but I get your reasons. I'm one of those who joined Twitter because of you in the days of the Copium Den, no less." God, that's a long time. That's a long time ago. Seven years ago now. In the days of the Copium Den, I'll be staying there for the time being, but I'll leave too when I'm your age in about a decade. I would encourage you, Monothalmus, to leave like today, to be honest. It's just wasting your time, just wasting your life. Would be great if someone that knows more about this world would make an archive or a best of your time on Twitter in all the years. Interesting what you said about the blue moon. Today's the first day for 2 new habits of mine, one being my improved sleep schedule. Yes, and later in the week, I've got my video coming on why to keep journals and why journals are actually not optional. It is mandatory that you do journals if you're serious. It's mandatory. And I'll go into that in that video. Cancel culture on the Caleb Morphin video has given £10 to say thanks. Interesting and entertaining. Yeah, Caleb's a great guest. I mean, we may agree, like, he's obviously a bit more utopian than I am. He's a lefty, obviously he is. And I'm, you know, an arch realist, so it's hard for me to be utopian. But he's got a lot of energy and drive, and he's somebody we can learn from, even if we don't agree with everything that he says. And I just think it's remarkable that he's gone, that he, you know, got to meet, you know, ask a question of Putin. Putin took like 10 minutes to answer him, you know, and all the other things he's done. I think it's like pretty, I think it's quite a cool thing that he's managed to do that with basically no institutional support or regime help or anything. So the Vo on somehow the Dark Lord return from last week. Says some suggestions for prog or prog adjacent material for you and the lads. Caravan in the Land of Pink and Grey. The Pretty Things by SF Sorrow. I like their album, Bo. I like that. I like Pretty Things. Edgar Broughton Band, self-titled. Love Forever Changes. Is that prog? That feels to me like kind of psychedelic Summer of Love, kind of 60s. You know, almost hippie stuff. Love Forever Changes. Small Faces, Ogden's Nut Gone Flake again. Great album, but prog is, it's kind of psychedelic, isn't it? And as a massive stretch, the Beta Band and the 3 EPs. Well, thank you very much, Vo. And Vo, you'll be interested to know that on today's office hours, I had a cigar. Now, I can't remember how long I said I would go without a cigar for. But that was my first cigar. So it's Tuesday today. And the last cigar I had was the Saturday, the 23rd. So what was that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 days without a cigar, I went, Bo, is that long enough for you? Why did I have a cigar on today's show? It was basically to steady myself because I knew that this was a rage-inducing story. I wanted to hold my calm, and the cigar helps me hold my calm. That's why I had the cigar. But, is 11 days long enough to prove it's not an addiction? I don't know. Cigars are not an addiction. It's not quitting. They're not something you quit. It's like it's a luxury. It's a luxury is what it is. It's kind of just something that you do because it makes you feel calmer or more relaxed. It's not something that you do because it's addictive. Okay, 11 days. Maybe I'll go like a whole week before I have my next one. Although I kind of like having cigars during these streams. I just like the vibe of it, the vibe of having the cigar, but I don't need it. It's not an addiction in that way. Twitter, on the other hand, was an addiction. Was, because I'm 2 days clean. 2 days clean of Twitter. I deleted it on the 31st. Second now. Twitter was. How do you know if something's an addiction? Because it's compulsive. You feel yourself involuntary doing it. Okay? You feel yourself just drawn, like, do it without even thinking about it. You know if something is an addiction or not. I know that I can not touch a cigar for 3 months and be cool with it because it's not an addiction. Whereas certain other things, you know, you're compelled to do it. You know, I've talked about porn in the past. You know, some people are addicted to porn. You know, like you know if it's an addiction or not. There's a kind of there's a compulsive quality to it. And Twitter, I think, was an addiction, is an addiction. Anyway, there we are. Let us have a look at Sam. Oh, Sam153 has said, this awful story reminds me of the Lord of War quote. They say evil prevails when good men fail to act. What they ought to say is evil prevails. And Sir Blank says, is this LBC coverage a community relationship op? No. I just like to use LBC to see what the liberal establishment are saying. And, it was pretty infuriating this week. All right. Well, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Join me again soon for more stuff. I might put that. I haven't got a video for tomorrow. I was going to review Blam Blas Britannica's attack on Restore. I haven't had the time to do that today, so maybe I'll record that tomorrow and I'll stick the journaling Ride the Tiger video out on the Wednesday. It's usually gone out on a Friday slot, but I'll move it up to not have to rush. So you can all get the journaling video tomorrow. All right. Bye, everyone. Bye, all.
What goes on in this town is none of your business.
As long as I'm living here, it is.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Well, that's easily fixed.